to the RPG Countdown Best of Q3 2012 show. I'm your host, Ed Healy.
And I'm Ron Barton. We've got the 25 hottest-selling RPG products of 2012's third quarter on tap. Sit back, grab your dice, and get ready to roll.
25.
Second City Boxed Set from Alderac Entertainment Group. 25 years ago, Rokugan fought a terrible battle against an invading Gaijin army known as the Destroyers. In the wake of that terrible conflict, the Divine Empress determined to colonize the empty lands left behind. This expansion for the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game details that city, the Shining Star, the Second City. I spoke with Lowell Francis from Age of Ravens about multiple directions.
Well, one of the things about this box set is it's unusual in the L5 Online. It's the first time we haven't gotten a hardcover, but we've gotten a full-on box set. And it's a box set that does a couple of really striking things. On the one hand, we've got a really thick set of GM tools for a whole new setting. But on the other hand, we've got a GM's resource pack with character logs and dice and character sheets and a GM screen and cards for all the players. So it's almost like we've got two products going on at the same time. The other thing that it's doing is it's doing classic sort of L5R world building, but in a place that's very different. It's offering GMs a place where if they want their players to have room to play outside of the normal samurai bounds, this is certainly the place to do that.
In the Second City, will honor prove stronger than steel?
24.
The Zelazny Quartet from Pelgrane Press. Each of the four missions in this story arc for the Knights Black Agents game can be played individually or linked in a campaign that brings characters through Eastern Europe and the Middle East, the old stomping grounds of communism and the Cold War, and vampires. I spoke with Gareth Hanrahan about the Zelazny myth.
Actually, it was the wonderful Ken Heit who dug these up, him being the expert in all things vampire. But the Zelazny are basically the risen dead who died untimely. So they died at the wrong time and have now come back from the grave to extract bloody revenge on those who killed them prematurely. And the Zelazny Quartet is four adventures involving, well, horrible undead revenants.
Gangsters, smugglers, arms dealers, and vampires.
23.
Pathfinder Beginner Box from Paizo Publishing. This box contains everything a new gamer needs to get started with the Pathfinder role-playing game. Within, you'll find simple rules for creating and customizing your own hero, and rules for running your new hero through challenging adventures against villainous monsters like goblins and dragons. I spoke with Gary McBride of Fire Mountain Games about the Dragon Isle.
Dragon Isle is the name of my one of my campaigns I run, and I happen to run it with autistic kids from here around the Portland area, and we usually run D&D 4th edition, but one time they had been very excited about Pathfinder, and I had just gotten my brand new shiny Pathfinder beginner box, and we broke it out, and just within a few minutes we had the sample characters done, and they were busy doing terrible, terrible things to a pack of goblins who dared to try to intersect their caravan. All in all, it was pretty well received, and I really liked the ease of use. We were able to just get it out, play it, had characters out, and pretty much were straight to the action. And that was something I can really respect in a product, especially a beginner one.
Step into an exciting world of fantasy adventure.
22.
Advanced Player's Guide from Paizo Publishing. With expanded rules for all 11 core Pathfinder classes, this guide will empower your existing characters. Inside, there are also 6 new base classes, such as the Prophecy Haunted Oracle, and new prestige classes, such as the Battle Herald. I spoke with James Jacobs about the Alchemist.
So one of the fun things about The Alchemist is this was, of all of the new classes we put into the Advanced Player's Guide, this was the one that I had the most work on. Just the idea of a character that like can drink magic potions and Hulk out or turn into some sort of like Jekyll and Hyde type character combined with, you know, throwing bombs and using potions and mixing stuff up was something that I'd really wanted to see in Pathfinder for a while. It's not really, I mean, you could fake it a little bit with brew potion and stuff like that, but I wanted something that was more of a mad scientist type character, partially to support some of the characters we already had in the world of Galarian, where there's quite a few alchemist characters in that setting, but just because it's a character trope that I didn't think really was supported by the core rules. So I'm pretty pleased with how he turned out. I really like some of the outlandish archetypes that we've come up with since then, really, really pushed the mad scientist angle for it. One of these days I'd like to get a archetype or something in there to support the alchemist who creates golems or homunculi or stuff like that. So that's something someday we'll hopefully tackle. But for now, I think he does pretty good.
Take your Pathfinder character to the next level.
21.
Mistborn Adventure Game from Crafty Games. Based on the best-selling novels by Brandon Sanderson, the Mistborn Adventure Game lets you explore the oppressed world of Scadrial, battle the Lord Ruler's Inquisitors, and master primal magical forces. It features new official fiction from Brandon Sanderson and loads of never-before-seen background material about the Final Empire. I spoke with Alex Flagg about Cadmium.
So one of the great things about working on the Mistborn license has been working with Brandon Sanderson and that relationship we've had, which has been so good and back and forth, actually. For example, when we were filling out the Mistborn Adventure Games magic section, he actually didn't have 100% view of how all the metal magic worked in Ferrochemy, which is not used by as many characters. And so it was actually one of our writers, John Sneed, who figured out how cadmium worked, for example, that would be breath storage. And so it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, we threw this out there and said, well, we'll see what happens. And Brandon was like, yes, make it so. And it went into the maps and became part of the official canon and stuff like that. So I mean, this is the greatest license I've ever worked on for that reason. It's so easy to do back and forth with him and to know that the game material we come up with is going to be sewn back into the world and vice versa.
Rebellion awaits.
Has your gaming group grown up and moved away? Do your adult responsibilities keep you in your house instead of around the table? D20 Pro is the solution to your problem. It's a virtual tabletop that allows one or more users to game online, around the table, or a combination of both. Go to d20pro.com and download your free trial now. Besides adding some high-quality GM capabilities, including the map marker system, tile management capabilities, and keyboard shortcuts, they now have a built-in content marketplace. That's right. You can download content for gameplay, including creature images, NPCs with images and stats, monsters, maps, and even full modules. Get it now! D20Pro.com. Play faster, play better, play anywhere. D20 Pro, where crit happens!
20.
10 Mage Armor Feats from Super Genius Games. These Pathfinder feats are designed to augment the options and utility of Warmasters. Or if Warmasters aren't being used in your campaign, they can be taken by classes that receive bonus combat or teamwork feats as class features. I spoke with Owen Casey Stevens about his wife.
So my wife is a gamer in her own right. She was playing D&D way before I met her and Champions and a bunch of other things. And she challenges me at the game table. I have to stay on my guard to be able to run games with her or to survive in the games she runs. And it is not unusual for a product to be developed from some pointed question she asks me. In this case, she was playing a spellcaster and she wanted her mage armor spell to be more effective. And she was just annoyed that you could take feats to make your armor more effective. You could take feats feats to specialize with a specific weapon, but you couldn't take feats to use that resource as a spellcaster to make a specific spell more effective. And if you really wanted your character to specialize a spell, she thought that resource ought to be able to work. And at first I was like, well, you know, it's just one spell. You don't need a whole set of feats for that. But she really challenged me on it and thought that there would be a way to do it. And when she thinks there's a way to do it, it's my job to find it. So that's where this product came out, and it's one of many products that came from me telling my wife that there was a good reason you couldn't have a certain set of rules, and she just wouldn't believe me.
Two fists full of new mage armor options.
19.
Worming Hall from Steve Jackson Games. Learn about the real-world historical workings of a medieval university and use that knowledge to insert just such a location into your GURPS game where it can serve as the focus of adventure and excitement. Worming Hall not only details a place where mages spend the formative years of their careers, it also includes a town where this magical institution of learning is located, and all the odd ways just such a town might change when attached to a magical alma mater. I spoke with Sean Punch about magic colleges.
Anyway, it's very interesting because people always want these magic academies. I mean, you see them in things like Harry Potter and so on. People go to school and they learn wizardry, but they're always set in a world where wizardry's been around for a long time. Maybe it's secret, maybe it isn't. And in most fantasy worlds, it's run by wizards' guilds and it's really overt. You go and you get your magical robes and magical hat and graduate your magical degree and you're a wizard. What Bill did with this one is really cool. He decided, what if magic just appeared in the world? It grew out of real-world magical beliefs and alchemy and so on and started to work. And the academy teaching it was a pretty standard university, medieval university, around 1300. And not just standard, but actually very conservative in many ways, complete with involvement of the clergy and so on, people you think would be opposed to magic. And I don't know how much the average listener is of a university town in this era, but more or less the university isn't a building. It's a town with all kinds of colleges and lectures in it. And so what Bill set out to do and did well, I think, is show how weird this town would be. The strange people would be attracted to a magical university, the strange things that would happen if there's magic in a town, and why the town might be built there in the first place, why the university might be there in the first place. He floats a lot of theories though. Forcing it down your throat, you know, crazy stuff ranging from ancient Roman temples to buried dragons and beyond. And as a result, you get something that doesn't look like your standard Harry Potter or fantasy university, but it's its own kind of thing. It feels like real, honest to goodness, medieval fantasy, but at the same token, it almost has enough realism. You could use this as a setting for a campaign that didn't have wizardry at all. It was all superstition.
An Institute of Flyer Learning.
18.
Marvel Heroic Role-Playing Basic Game from Margaret Weiss Productions. The Avengers have been disassembled, the Fantastic Four are somewhere in space, and the X-Men aren't answering their phone. When dozens of dangerous villains are sprung from the maximum security prison, who's going to stop them? You are, and with this game, you can experience all the pulse-pounding action and nail-biting drama of the Marvel Universe at your gaming table. I spoke with Amanda Valentine about Osmosis.
So I have the honor of being the managing editor for Marvel Heroic Role-Playing, which means I'm suddenly immersed in this huge, incredible universe that, honestly, I didn't know very much about until I started working on it. I'd watched the movies, but that was about it. And so I'm just absorbed in all of this stuff and learning all the details and the backstories and how passionate people are about it. And now it's wearing off on my son. He hasn't really had a lot of experience with it either, but now just because the game is in our house, he's starting to play and to be involved and really getting excited about Wolverine and just Marvel in general.
Great power and great responsibility are yours.
17.
Pyramid Magazine from Steve Jackson Games. This monthly PDF magazine delivers articles about specific themes, such as weird science and monsters, fantasy world building, and the life of a rogue. Most articles are either generic, suitable for any game system, or designed for use with GURPS. I spoke with J. Edward Tremlett about The Formation.
Imagine an insidious cosmic parasite that infests its host by the way of a loaded electronic signal, a virulent crystalline smut that turns one's brains to rock and begins to destroy your mind, your identity, and your vocabulary. Imagine that sometime into the infection, your personality is beveled away, leaving only a hive-minded organism that can infect others with a scratch of their poisoned crystalline fingernails. Imagine them working in secret to create transmitters out of their bodies, the better to send the signal on, or sneaking up on innocents and infecting them with a jab. You don't have to imagine. The Formation is already here, working towards the whole-scale infection of the planet Earth.
Serious gaming content for serious gamers.
16.
Spell Points from Super Genius Games. This first release in the House Rule Handbook series details a new way to manage spells in your Pathfinder game in lieu of the normal rules that involve spell slots and spell preparation. In addition to the general spell point system, there are also specific rules tailored to each spellcasting class. I spoke with Owen Casey Stevens about his history with spell points.
Spell points are a pretty common idea. They date way back to 1st and 2nd edition D&D, at least maybe before that, honestly. And when we did house rules for our old AD&D games, we used spell points. In fact, when I was interviewed to be an employee of Wizards of the Coast back in 2000, they asked me if there's anything I would add to D&D, and the very first thing I said was spell points. And they didn't go that direction. But it's something that a lot of people want. I've always wanted to have spell point systems for my own game. And so when I started developing a new set of spell point rules, it seemed like a good idea to go ahead and put them together and put them in a product for other people to use.
House Rule, your Pathfinder game.
Hi, I'm Will Hindmarch, and I'm a gamer because I love it when imaginations collide during play. It's not enough for me to be reading stories or writing stories or watching movies, whatever it is. I love the moment of creation when it's all too hot to handle and it's still molten and it's moving between everybody's heads like lightning and you don't know what's going to happen next and anything is possible. And also, and this is the real thing, is I'm a big enough nerd that I don't think anybody else would have me. So I'm Will Hindmarch and I'm the Gamerati.
Gamerati.com. It's good to be a gamer.
15.
Bestiary Box from Paizo Publishing. The beasts of the Pathfinder role-playing game spring to life on your table with this collection of more than 300 cardstock figurines. From the Spider Swarm to the Towering Trent, each pawn has dual-sided art and comes with a size-appropriate base, the perfect companion to the Pathfinder Bestiary. I spoke with Wes Schneider about re-envisioning.
So one of the coolest things about getting to really revisit the Pathfinder Bestiary with the Bestiary Box was there were a number of pieces in the original Bestiary that we got in and they were cool but weren't quite our vision for what these specific monsters were. One good example there is like the Ice Devil, for example. It came in really cool, but, you know, there's something about, like, a pudgy blue insect man that doesn't really scream CR-13 minion of hell. So when we got to do the Bestiary Box, it meant that we got to go back to some of these pieces where they were cool, but we wanted a chance to re-spin them. So we got, for this one, a redone version of the Ice Devil that came in as this like really lean like crystal lance bearing like mantis man that ended up just being way more distinct than Ice Devils that had come before it, but also just looked like a deadly thing. I mean, really looked like a CR-13 creature. So when you put it on the table, when you've got the pawn and it actually stands there and it's like towering over your PCs, it looks like something to be scared of and not just like, oh, a bug person.
A preponderance of pawns with which to play.
14.
The Dresden Files from Evil Hat Productions. Enter the world of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files, where creatures lurk around every corner. Only the determination, faith, and hope of mortal kind is able to stand against the rising darkness. In the Dresden Files role-playing game, a city of your own making becomes the setting, and you are the ones, the cops, wizards, and ordinary Joes that must enter the shadow in search of those things that go bump in the night. I spoke with Amanda Valentine about Jim.
So back about 12 years ago, my friend Cam Banks started gaming with a friend of his, Jim Butcher, and I got invited to the game, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. He runs a good game. He's running Warhammer for us. And towards the end of one of the sessions, Jim was like, oh, yeah, I wrote a book. I've got like a closet full of them. You'll want one? And that's how I got my first copy of Full Moon and how I was exposed to the Dresden Files. And then years later, I got to work on the game.
Play in the world of Harry Dresden.
13.
Pathfinder Bestiary from Paizo Publishing. In this first hardcover release for Paizo's Pathfinder role-playing game, you'll find new takes on more than 250 of the best-loved, most popular monsters of fantasy, ready for instant use in your game. From the comedic but deadly goblin to the world-killing Tarrasque, this lavishly illustrated, full-color tome contains new solutions and options that place these monsters firmly on the cutting edge, ready for your players' blades. I spoke with James Jacobs about Paizo's Ark.
So one of the kind of the tricky things about putting together a bestiary is you have a limited number of pages in each one. And when we did the original bestiary, it wasn't guaranteed that we were going to be able to do a bestiary 2 or 3, so we really had to pick and choose which monsters we wanted to put in there. And while there's about 300 so monsters in there, it's really difficult when the game has a tradition of, you know, over 1,000 monsters. And then even going back to like mythology and stuff like that, there's just so many monsters. One of the things I'm really proud that we managed to pull off in the bestiary was we actually got in some monsters from old literature, like H.G. Wells. We got the Morlocks into the book, or from Lovecraft, we've got the Shoggoths in there. This is something we've been doing for other bestiaries going forward with the Jabberwock and other strange creatures from old-time stories and literature. And it's just really, it gives a nice sense of nostalgia when you're looking through a monster book for an RPG and you see a monster that, you know, hasn't really been statted up all that often in a fantasy RPG setting, because it may not have been normally associated. Like the Morlocks are associated with science fiction, and they fit really pretty well into a fantasy setting with their goggling big eyes and swarm tactics and all that. So yeah, you can look forward to more of that type of philosophy when we pick monsters going forward.
The greatest monsters of fantasy gaming.
12.
Constantinople, 527 to 1204 AD, from Steve Jackson Games. One of the greatest cities of all time, Constantinople comes alive in this Hotspots release for GURPS. Learn everything you need to bring the jewel of the Eastern Roman Empire alive in your campaign, with a detailed look at over 600 years of Constantine history. I spoke with Matt Rigsby about grad school.
I studied archaeology in graduate school. I got a master's degree dealing with the late Roman, early Byzantine, Eastern Mediterranean. The Byzantine Empire is the great lost civilization of the Middle Ages. It was the medieval superpower this side of the Abbasid Caliphate. It was the bastion of Christendom. It was the place in Europe where there was wealth and power. Now, GURPS is usually known for its historical and technical supplements, and as I was thinking of some place to write a book about, I thought, wait a minute, I got a degree in that place. I know the politics, I know the people, I know the region. How about I just work on that and give sort of a palatable version of my master's thesis, taking out all the boring statistic about coin hoards?
Get lost in the heart of the Byzantine Empire.
11.
Ultimate Equipment from Paizo Publishing. Within this all-in-one reference, for the Pathfinder role-playing game, you'll find 400 pages of magic items and adventuring gear, from simple weapons to earth-shaking artifacts. There's also a new treasure generation system, as well as many new special materials and magical abilities to help you create the exact item your character's been looking for. I spoke with Ryan Costello Jr. about Hostling Armor.
Hostling Armor is an armor special ability that I wrote for Ultimate Equipment. What I really like about it is that it solves a major problem with animal companions, particularly horses. What it does is that it turns your animal companion, familiar, what have you, whatever your bond is, into an emblem on your armor or on your shield. I got the idea from the Conan the Adventurer cartoon series from the 90s, where his phoenix would become a phoenix symbol on his shield. I thought it was a cool visual, a cool idea, and really, you know, sometimes horses just can't go spelunking alongside you. So it's convenient, it's proving to be popular among Pathfinder Society players from what I hear, and it just takes an option that can be a problem but is iconic for so many classes and solves it.
Choose your weapon and stride boldly into battle.
Why have tens of thousands of gamers adopted HeroLab for creating and managing their characters? No other tool offers HeroLab's power, flexibility, and ease of use. Covering Pathfinder, Shadowrun, and many other game systems, you'll find everything at your fingertips. Create fully equipped characters or NPCs in moments, all with a few mouse clicks. Use HeroLab while playing, to apply buffs and effects, even quickly design and manage entire encounters. It's no surprise HeroLab took home in any award this past year, so download HeroLab and take it for a test drive today. Discover how HeroLab can transform your game.
10. Midgard campaign setting from Cobalt Press. The culmination of 5 years of adventures and sourcebooks from Kobold Quarterly and Open Design, this tome brings to life a world of dark fantasy drawn from European folk traditions. It includes rules for play in the 50-plus kingdoms of Midgard, using the Age system from Green Ronin Publishing and the Pathfinder role-playing game. I spoke with Wolfgang Bauer about Zobek.
Yeah, Zobek is where Midgard got started. It's the free city at the heart of the campaign setting, and we did a bunch of adventures there, and we did the surrounding territory, and everybody said, wow, cool, give us more. And so we did Midgard, and it's the whole world. And when I sent out the first draft of the manuscript, everybody said, well, this is really neat, but, you know, we were expecting that there would be kobolds everywhere and clockwork stuff and all the stuff that goes on in Zobek. I had to say, yeah, I shouldn't be surprised that not, you know, the whole world doesn't look like one city. You know, the rest of Europe doesn't look just like Rome. The whole United States doesn't look just like New York. But people were surprised. They're like, well, there's no kobolds over here. Yeah, that's right. There's gnomes in these woods. There's orcs over here. So we open up a ton of new cans of worms, new races like the Raven folk up in the north, and you know, new terrain, new landscapes. It's not just one mercantile crossroads city. It's ruined empires. And, oh, by the way, the great old ones are wandering the wasted west, trashing everything they see. And so it gave us a chance to make Midgard, you know, come alive in different flavors and different styles of fantasy. And once everybody got over the shock of, oh, it's not exactly like what we already know, people dived in and pretty soon picked their own favorites, right? Some people went for the Fallen Empire. Some people went for the Wasted West, the Goblins. Everybody's picked a new favorite, and Zobek is still at the heart of it, but Midgard is a big, vibrant canvas full of gaming possibilities, and you can take your pick. I think that's why it's been so successful.
Deep magic and diabolical gnomes await.
9.
7 Sinful Feats of Lust from Super Genius Games. Using this Pathfinder-compatible release, you will harness the classic sin of lust to make villains more interesting and give your sinful PCs more panache. Whether your character is a lust-laden lass or a masochistic minstrel, Seven Sinful Feats of Lust has something you've been craving. I spoke with Owen Casey Stevens about the cover model.
So the cover model for this product is Jenny Poussin, who we used before. We originally used her for our Time Thief products, and she's a gamer. She plays Pathfinder. And as always, I contacted her and asked her if she would be interested in doing the cover, and she talked to us about it a little bit and wanted to see the product. So we sent her a copy of the text, and she was really excited by them. She thought they were interesting, that they allowed you to do some things that the rules don't really support but are still useful in a typical adventuring situation. And the only thing that annoyed her a little bit was that she liked them so much that she was going to talk to her GM about possibly changing characters so she could start using these feats. So these are Jenny Poussin approved Sinful Feats of Lust, which isn't something you get to say on many products.
Seven new feats based on the classic sin of lust.
8.
Pathfinder role-playing game from Paizo Publishing. An evolution of the 3.5 rule set of the world's oldest fantasy role-playing game, the Pathfinder role-playing game was designed using the feedback of tens of thousands of gamers. This 576-page core rulebook includes everything you need to take on the role of brave adventurer, fighting to survive in a world beset by magic and evil. I spoke with Dale McCoy Jr. of John Brasier Enterprises about being a third-party Pathfinder publisher.
Pathfinder role-playing game is one of the most successful role-playing games in modern memory, and it's a lot of fun to work on as a Pathfinder-compatible publisher. In fact, one time several years ago when I was at PaizoCon as a young publisher, I introduced myself to several people, and they said, "Oh my God, you produced the Book of the River Nations! I love that book!" And I was just amazed that that people knew the book that I had produced, and it was all because of the Pathfinder role-playing game that I got recognized, and it's really amazing and a lot of fun.
A fantastic world of adventure awaits.
7.
First edition AD&D Dungeon Master's Guide from Wizards of the Coast. First published in 1979 by TSR and penned by one of the creators of the world's first role-playing game, this reprinting of the first edition Dungeon Master's Guide includes the original art and content. In addition, every purchase of the reprint edition helps support the Gygax Memorial Fund, established to immortalize the father of role-playing games with a memorial statue in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. I spoke with Andrew Pascal from the Dungeons & Dragons documentary about 10 minutes.
Yeah, when I first started playing back in OTs a long, long time ago, the idea of being a player was so much fun and exciting until I realized that I really kind of sucked at it. And what I really wanted to do was become a DM. And so the Dungeon Master's Guide was the Bible. I mean, I think I carried that thing around for months, just kind of rereading through it. And I would constantly reread it, even though things that I've, just gone over for months and months and months, just to kind of, let me just make sure that I understand exactly what this thing is saying. And so that was a great sort of introduction to becoming a DM for me, because ever since then, that's all I've wanted to do, and probably has a lot to do with my control issues and wanting to make sure that I have complete control of the situation. But it's been a tremendous amount of fun, and that first edition was just it was just gold.
Dungeon Masters everywhere, rejoice.
6.
Advanced Race Guide from Paizo Publishing. Embrace your inner monster by playing one of 30 iconic races from mythology and gaming history, or build an entirely new race of your own for your Pathfinder role-playing game. If classic races are more your style, go beyond the stereotypes of elves, dwarves, and other core races with new options and equipment to help you stand out from the crowd. I spoke with Wes Schneider about Kasatha.
So, in the back of the advanced race guide here. We've got this really elaborate make-your-own-creature system. And on top of like showing you how you could play an ogre or you could play a lizard folk or whatever, we've got like six new races here that are completely built, just kind of, you know, we just totally made them up to show what you can build with the system. And one of them is this race that we ended up calling the Kasatha. And I ended up doing the art order for this book, and one of the sections was order six new pieces of art for these new races. So it was pretty much like, well, what are really the tropes that we don't have in the game currently, but we'd like to have in there as races? And I was reading a good deal of Edgar Rice Burroughs at the time, and John Carter of Mars had just come out, so it was like, we totally need that sort of alien, four-armed, savage race creature. It's like we don't want to rip off the Green Men of Mars exactly, but we still really want to give folks who want that sort of sword and planet feel to their game that sort of rugged, alien, mysterious, deadly, like, warrior of the wastelands. And the piece of art that we got in ended up being this just totally perfect kind of desert monk, four-armed savage that we ended up turning into this race called the Kasatha, and we were quite taken with it. We're probably going to do some more with it in the future.
Get the most out of your heritage. Want to increase the visual aspect of your game table? Scrying Eye Games is the source for maps for all genres and budgets. Whether it's for a dungeon crawl, modern apocalypse, or horror, Starship Deck Plan, or Ancient Sailing Ships, their talented artists have created an entire series of maps that are both modular and reusable. Most of them are available in both PDF and printed versions. Check out scryingeye.com for their full line of maps, and watch out for their Zombie Apocalypse release, Welcome to Mortistown, USA, at Origins.
5.
Henchmen, from Steve Jackson Games. The 15th release in the Dungeon Fantasy line for GURPS, Henchmen brings to life those faithful assistants that delvers need to do those tasks they deem beneath them. From your wizard's bodyguard to petulant potion tasters, the templates and GMing advice will help expand and color that cast of characters that accompany any adventuring party. I spoke with Sean Punch about Sidekicks.
Yeah, it's a funny sort of product because we've done this high-powered series, 14-odd items plus a couple of add-ons for monsters and so on, and we realized that some people don't want to be high-powered all the time. And we, being myself, my co-author, Peter DeLordo, and he was really in love with the idea of seriously low-powered, possibly somewhat incompetent assistants. And we got together and we put together this little supplement to create those guys. And it was funny because the whole thing was kind of inspired for Peter by a series of old minis, old miniatures from back in the day. I don't remember exactly which set they were. All I know is that it was really sad guys loaded with gear, walking around looking pathetic and whipped behind their bosses. And Peter and I got together and said, right, let's write a book, little supplement for Dungeon Fantasy. Let's just put those guys together. And then we noticed that a lot of people wanted to play them. So we threw in extra bits, let you actually play these as characters if you want. And we basically riffed on it from there. We just kept finding crazy things that we needed to add. It's like, what do henchmen have? Well, they're kind of incompetent and lame, but what do they do for you? They take hits. Well, how do you make sure they take hits? Because most player characters will never dream of putting their pet in front of harm if they can avoid it. It's too desperately important to them. So we started throwing in crazy things like abilities that let these guys catch arrows, and we wrote an entire little section on dressing them up in outfits with targets on them so they would get shot and things like that. So it's very tongue-in-cheek like the rest of the series, but totally plays to our gaming biases, which is more or less you have some poor sucker carrying 5,000 pounds of treasure getting shot with arrows.
Your people can handle it.
4.
First edition AD&D Player's Handbook from Wizards of the Coast. replace that torn tome with a new hard-covered, gold-gilded, ribbon-marked PHB. But fear not, all the original content from the original player's handbook is there, from the original text to the iconic interior art. I spoke with Tavis Allison from Adventuring Parties about Dog Ears.
The reason it's so great to have these reissues is that my original copy is falling apart. The fact that it hasn't fallen apart completely is a testament to how well-built the original library bindings are. But my copy has where my mom wrote my phone number in the upper right-hand corner, so that when I took it to the program at the library, if I got picked up by somebody else, it would get back to me. And I carried it back and forth in my backpack every week, sort of causing it to become digested by the collisions against other parts of my backpack. And the thing that makes it such a great book, and one that I venerate today, is the quality of its advice for players. There's a section in the back where it talks about the kinds of things that many years later I helped work on for the Player Strategy Guide, how to become a superior player. Not just what are the rules of this game, but what are the qualities that you look for to say, wow, I was really a credit to my party. We saw what our objectives were in this dungeon, and we achieved them because each of us had this kind of excellence of play. And so Gygax does that in the text, but also the illustrations do a fantastic job of showing you, here's what it's going to look like. The cover image so famously is like, here's the guy sharpening his sword because you got to get ready for your next fight. Here's the guy's arguing over the map because you want to make sure that you know where you are and where you're going. So just everything about the whole package of this original player's handbook teaches you what it's like to be a player. And there are lessons in there for whatever kind of game you play, for whether you're a dungeoneer, wilderness exploring. There is going to be something in this book that will help you become a more superior player.
Grab some friends. It's time for some old school adventure.
13th Age from Pelgrane Press. In 13th Age, adventurers seek their fortunes in the Dragon Empire. Powerful individuals known as icons pursue goals that may preserve the empire from chaos or send it over the edge. Who will you ally with and who will you oppose? I spoke with Rob Hainso about trading campaigns.
Yeah, well, early in 13th Age, right when Jonathan and I, we'd agreed to work together, we'd roughed out the basics of some mechanics, we had enough classes that we could play games. For some reason, and I took over the campaign that Jonathan was running, and he took over the characters that I'd been running. It was just this funny situation where I enjoyed the game he was running so much, and he was sort of like, I don't know what to do next. And I said, I do, give it to me, I'm taking over. And so that became my campaign. And meanwhile, I sort of lost steam at one point with my group a little bit, and John was like, well, I'll do it. And so it was very fun, because I think the thing is that as players, we had enjoyed the one unique things with the rest of the group, and as we were sitting there playing, since we're both so oriented towards being game masters, we spent our time thinking about, well, this is what I would do with the group. And so I don't really know that that has an awful lot to do with the way 13th Age plays, but, it was definitely a very fun experience and not something I expected at all.
The new fantasy RPG from the lead designers of 3rd and 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons.
2.
Rise of the Runelords, Anniversary Edition from Paizo Publishing. Celebrating both the 5th anniversary of the Pathfinder Adventure Path and the 10th anniversary of Paizo Publishing, this new edition expands the original campaign with new options and refined encounters throughout, incorporating 5 years of community feedback. I spoke with Adam Daigle about running the Runelords.
So yeah, I ran the Rise of the Runelords Adventure Path back when it first came out, and really, had a great time. Brandon Hodge, another freelancer, was in my group at the time. And the whole group, there's so many great little set pieces that the group kept wanting to take over a new place. Like there's a, manor house in one part. And they're like, oh, this is going to be our new base of operations. And then they move to the next part, and there's a fort. And then they're like, no, this is going to be our base of operations. And so every time, they wanted to have a new base, although they just kept, you know, progressing through the story. But with this, with the anniversary edition, it's really great to see everything all compiled with new handouts, new art. It would have been a lot of fun to be able to run it with this one than the one I did back in the day.
In the sleepy coastal town of Sandpoint, evil is brewing.
One!
First edition AD&D Monster Manual from Wizards of the Coast. This is the third and final deluxe reprint of Core Rules for first edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, recreated word for word and page for page. This is the book that took RPGs into bookstores, and the first ever to be printed in hardcover. I spoke with Anthony Savini from the Dungeons & Dragons documentary about real monsters.
The thing that I remember about the Monster Manual was my friend Chris and I, way back, we had built a ton of different dungeons, but then we decided to build the dungeon to end all dungeons, and it was huge. And I just remember we started with little rooms, and we were like, well, it'll get more difficult as you go further in. So like the first room, of course, was like kobolds, right? And of course you walk into a room, you know, with three kobolds just standing there. There's nothing else in the room, just three kobolds. Who knows why, but they're there. I just remember with Chris sort of sitting there kind of looking through this, the monster manual, and sort of looking at some of them and saying, yeah, that monster is a little bit out of our league. We don't really know what that monster is, you know? And we weren't able to kind of wrap our heads around them. Now, here is the one thing I actually did love about the monster manual was that, like all of the books, because there were some elements of reality, like, you know, a sword, you know, it's a tangible thing that you can see someplace, and a sword, you know, it would tell you how powerful it was, right? And then the same idea is in the monster manual. So you're reading about a dragon or what have you, and it's giving you what feels like concrete stats on these monsters that, you know, it could be like reading about dinosaurs, as far as I was concerned at that time. You know, it felt real. You literally could just almost feel like you would, it's like, wow, yeah, I know what slime is now, you know, and you really got a feel for them.
Monsters and treasure await.
That wraps up our countdown. Join us again in 3 months when we'll start back at the top and bring you the 25 best-selling RPG products.
Drop by RPGCountdown.com, where you can leave comments and find a link to our show page on Facebook.